Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, that we are all gathered here today to listen to your word, Lord, that we take it in, Lord, that we live it today, tomorrow, and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let me just jump ahead here. I'm going to pick up from last week. Now, you did have a homework assignment. I'll be collecting those in a minute. All right. Let's just look at a scripture here. In fact, for this reason, Jesus, was born. And for this, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And the whole purpose of this biblical worldview class is to see that there's truth in all areas of life. And all that truth originates in God's Word, but it's applicable for every endeavor that we undertake in life, whether it's running a hair salon or whether it's working in the factory, whatever it might be, you know, working out, doing construction. We always have to go back to the Word of God, because when we encounter people and they're speaking and they're talking about what the world, you know, basically the wisdom of the world, we have to understand where they're coming from. And one of the best ways to evangelize people is to understand it. Not to present a lot of times all the information that we have, but understand where they're coming from, undermine their foundation. Okay? So Jesus is the epitome, he is the embodiment of truth. All truth originates with him. You cannot understand anything in all creation unless you understand that there is a God behind it who created it. Every atom, every molecule, everything has a purpose. God knows the ultimate purpose of everything, and we discover it as we live our lives. Okay? All right, we talked to Steve, we saw... All right, I want to show you this. This is a one-minute little video. Watch this video. I may have shown this a long time ago, but this is the creation account from an atheistic point of view. Listen to the nonsense, but this is exactly what they believe. Ed, if you would hit that, please.
Welcome to Creation Minute. I'm Eric Hovind. Today, let me give you the evolutionary formula to make a universe. Start with some nothing. Add to that some more nothing. Then let's add some time. Let's add some more time. We've got it. It's a perfectly balanced universe. Look at that. Sun, moon, stars, planets. Everything's orbiting in perfect balance and order. You know, evolutionists theorize that this formula can enable everything to make itself, even people. With the exception of complicated man-made things like a microscope or a toothpick, but everything else about us in nature is the result of random chance and time. You don't even need raw materials. Those will make themselves. To learn more about creation, visit us at creationminute.com.
Okay, you can hit the lights there. Just a quick, they do a little one-minute thing, but that is basically what they believe. But the only problem was he was wrong on the formula. Okay, he took the little, first you add some nothing, add a little bit more nothing, and then he took a little container that said time, and he poured that in there. The only problem was that was, according to the evolutionists, time did not exist. It was created at the Big Bang. We know, the Bible says in the New Testament, God himself created time. He existed before time. He exists outside of time and inside of time. Okay? Even time is a created entity. The physicists believe that, but also Christians believe that, because we have that revealed to us in Scripture. All right? So, anyways, you see how ridiculous that sounds. You ever see anything create itself? Can anything create it? No. Our science today is based upon what? A cause and effect. Okay? So when you get into the realm of pulling rabbits out of a hat and come out of, you know there's something behind it. It's a trick. Okay? And so during the Middle Ages and all that, when superstition and myth dominated thinking of most of the world, it was Christianity that understood that there was an ordered universe and we could understand it because God is a God of order. And we can understand, Paul says, we know there's a God by observing what? The universe. All right? Homework assignments. Did you bring them in? Everybody that didn't bring them in has got detention today. I'm going to send you down to Principal Sammy. He's got a big paddle. Elma? All right, Elma, first of all.
That's why you were here early.
Yeah. Hey, Elma is just clicking on all cylinders today. So give her the microphone. Do you remember what the homework assignment was?
You brought in fashion.
I know, it's from my fashion magazine. I don't get the newspaper.
Let me ask you a question. Does the Bible address fashion?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, a lot of different ways.
Where's the first point? See if you can remember. Where's the first point that the Bible addresses clothing or fashion?
Adam and Eve.
And who made it? Who designed?
God.
Right. So it was a creative act by God to clothe man and woman because they had sinned. All right, go ahead, Elma.
If I remember correctly, it was an article about a different worldview than ours, right, as Christians?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so I was going through my In Style magazine for fall 2013. I couldn't find anything. I was all interested in the fashion. But this one says, you can do masculine and feminine. It's really quite simple.
Stop right there. My stomach's kind of getting nauseated. Okay. Now, remember I said that every magazine, every television show, everything you see is going to try to dictate to you a particular view of life. Is the title of that magazine dictating to you a particular view of life? Is it telling you what is now acceptable and what is not acceptable?
Don't try to dress like this, Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Even the fact that it's a fashion magazine. Fashions, what you wear is dictated by how you believe.
Now let me ask you something. That's exactly right. And we'll come back to it. Keep that thought there. Go ahead, Elma. We'll let you.
It's really quite simple to take on a trend. Just follow the smart advice from fashion director Cindy Cleary. I'm going to read through this, but pay attention to the last sentence, which is the one that caught me the most. Women wearing menswear has been around forever. The female writer George Sand definitely dressed in men's attire in the 19th century France. Actresses Marlene Dietrich and Katharine Hepburn donned trousers and tuxes in the 1930s.
All right, let me stop you real quick, and we'll pick up right from there. Mm-hmm. What is the author of this article now doing?
Nothing
That's
new.
Exactly right. And is it an appealing to popular people or appealing to those that were stars? That's why stars will advertise beer and clothing and everything else. You try to get them wearing that stuff because we make a connection there. Okay? And so in logic, it's called an appeal to authority. I got an argument one time with somebody and they go, well, Pastor so-and-so on TV, they believe this, and Pastor so-and-so on TV, they believe that, and what they were trying to do was appeal to an authority. They didn't recognize what I was saying, and so to justify their position, they weren't appealing to the Scripture, they were appealing to men or women that were in positions or were famous or what have you. And so it's a very subtle technique, okay? That's why when you walk into a store, you're not going to see some bum modeling the clothes, okay? Because they're sending an image. Here's a beautiful young lady. Here's a young strapping man. If you buy these clothes, you'll what? Look like them. Or if you wear this cologne or whatever it might be. Go ahead.
They are still style icons today. In 2013, the mix of masculine and feminine hardly raises eyebrows, but designers are still finding enticing ways. And then they give an example. This is where it got me right here. To play with gender in a world where it has become much more fluid.
Yeah. And so the boundary lines between men and women, as this article said, have become fluid. In other words, it's easy to cross over back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that. Now, Beth had brought in an article on the military.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. And I don't know how many of you saw it. The Marines. Bob, this is... Eddie's. Okay. In the Marines, did you see what the Marines came out with this week?
No, I didn't.
All right, hand that Fred. Hand Fred the... it was Fred or was it...
Fred.
Roger.
It was Fred.
Okay.
They come out where the men and the women are going to wear the same hat because just to make everything, I guess, equal.
Yeah, you know, it's
they
a,
wore separate hats at one time.
So. Right.
Hold on. The Marine Corps does not wear hats. They have a cover.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Well, they're covers, Bob.
Yeah, they're covers, Bob.
Okay. Hand it to Beth there. So Beth, go ahead.
In your time, it was
now,
covered, Bob.
Yeah. He was covered. Before we get to that, you'll see what you're seeing, even in the military, because the military now is becoming a social experiment for people that are in power. And so to once again blur the lines between male and female, now the dress has to be the same, where there was a dress that separated. You know, in the scriptures we see that God, once again, getting back to fashion, did the high priest have to wear certain clothes? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. When they ministered, they had to do certain things. How about the priest in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Now, when we get to the New Testament, we're told that there was a conservative way to dress. We weren't to dress to be gaudy, you know. And there's some churches that will use what Peter had to say about not wearing gold and doing your hair. That had nothing to do that with women. What it was, women were coming into the congregation, and it became a problem because they're like, look at my new watch, you know. Look at what I picked up. And that's not the attitude we should have when we assemble together. Go ahead, Fred.
Oh, Fred, I'm sorry. Fred.
I don't want to go into an article, but when I was watching this on the news, they interviewed, military people, and men and women in the military were against it.
Yeah.
You know, and so they went into the pricing. Well, the hat's going to cost so much, millions of dollars more, you know, and it kind of struck me that it's not the people want it. It's not the money saved. It's they're just pushing what they believe to be right,
When your philosophy is, you know, back in the old days, women weren't involved on the front lines, okay? And you know why that was? Because the Bible teaches that a man's role was to protect the women and children. Remember the movie, the old Titanic? Not the one that came out back in, what, the late 90s or whatever, yeah, but back from like the 50s. And the scene that I always remember as a kid was, you know, guys on the megaphone, women and children first. Why? Because there was a view that men had to sacrifice their lives for the protection of the women and the children. And that was their God-given responsibility. And you remember in the movie, the one guy dressed up like a woman, and he got in there, and they yanked him out, and the guy was going to shoot him?
Except there's an exception to that. Cruise ships that are Italian. Remember that guy? He left everybody when he raped that boat. He was the first one off. Follow me.
Yeah. I think that thing is still sitting out there in the Mediterranean. Go ahead.
Same thing with hats. All right. They took the black berets away from the Rangers. That upset Anthony because, hey, I worked hard for that because somebody wanted to look nice to everybody. So, you know, he said, well, he don't have the gumption to be a Ranger, so I'll just put the hat on. Now, you know, and yeah. It's a prestige thing.
The symbolism.
Why were they called the Green Beret in the Army? They wore Green Berets.
So they gave the Rangers some brown one, you know, and Anthony just, he doesn't talk about battalion and Rangers, what he did, but that hurt him. He says, I worked hard to be able to have the privilege to wear that black beret, and they take it away from me. Oh.
Yeah. Go ahead, give it to Beth there. She's got an article.
This is the Air Force Academy may drop religious reference from the honor code. It said that the Military Religious Freedom Foundation protested the "so help me God" phrase that was added to the end of the oath that has cadets swearing that they won't lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those that do. You know, my question then is who are they, who's this oath to? I mean, you're saying you're not going to do these things, and if it's not to God, then to whom?
And it basically means nothing. So what's to stop people from lying? And we swore when you go into a court, you know, it used to be that, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, and you put your hand on the Bible. Well, you don't do that anymore, okay? Because, you know, in this country, it used to be illegal to swear unless you put your hand on the Bible. People didn't know that. And the reasoning behind it was, if you don't believe that there's an afterlife with eternal rewards and punishments, then your oath basically carries no weight. Okay? You're making a vow not to the court, but to God himself. You're calling God in as a witness to judge you if you lie. Okay? So oaths, and we talked about this, are very, very important. When you get married, you enter into an oath, okay? The Bible tells us that when you take an oath, think about it. Be careful before you do it. It says not to come back and be thought a fool. So oaths are actually a religious ceremony. So it's just minus God now, okay? Same when you do the pledge and everything else.
Those exact words, so help me God, when we were attacked by Japan in 1941 and the president went in front of Congress to declare war, his last statement is, "We will prevail, we will win, so help me God." And they all repeated that.
Yeah, Declaration of Independence, we pledge our sacred, our lives, our sacred honor, blah, 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 and then it's signed in the year of our Lord. Now, they weren't all Christians, but they all had a Christian worldview. They understood the world in terms. All right, now I happen to find some old stuff on Bob Cassidy. This was back in the day, with Halloween coming around. I think, these were, kind of like secret photos that were taken. I got them from the NSA, and, I didn't order this. Dumping, I didn't know if that was his wife waiting on him. Sharon, was that you back in the day there? That's the way he treated people. And they threw his rear end in jail. But how many of you like this? I was baptized in Babylon because I had no say in the matter, but now I have plenty to say. Let me tell you something. I hate God. If I had a chance, I'd drag him out of heaven. I run my own life. Nobody ever tells me what to do. Isn't that kind of the philosophy of the world? Yeah. It's your choice. You can do with your body whatever you want. Did you hear about Bad Bob? Yeah, it's weird.
Is that you, Pastor, in the middle there?
Yeah, that was me. And this right here is you. Hang on, we'll get to that. Yeah, it's weird. Ever since the fire, he hasn't been the same dude. I even hear he prays now. And then Alma says, "Oh, well, we'll just have to find a new dealer." Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right. Contrasting worldviews, assumptions, origins. We looked at the little video already. What stood out about what that guy was saying? It was ridiculous, wasn't it? The Bible says that the wisdom of the world is what? Foolishness. And when you think about it, you go, my God, you got these guys that got all these degrees and are brilliant. But that's what they hold to. They're not going to bring God into the equation at all. Yesterday we had Travis, and he was talking about, studying the scriptures and what have you. And he was using some stuff on evolution. And I mean, it's funny, as he was comparing and contrasting them, it was funny to think, this is what these guys believe. This is what they teach. This was the predominant worldview that is in our public school system and academia and the news and everything else. And so the reason I ask you to bring these articles in, because you can see everybody wants to dictate and tell somebody, this is how you dress. This is how you live. This is what we do in the military. There's always somebody telling what's going on. All right. The world's assumption. Nature is the impersonal source of all life on the planet. All right? So there's no God to answer to. Man, if you take philosophy classes, you'll find out man was always the source or the ultimate source of reference. Depending on what school of philosophy that you adhered to, it was either the individual that was appealed to or the group that was appealed to. And that has been true all throughout history. But nature is where we all came from. In that little video, nothing created what? Everything, didn't it? He said, even the microscope or the little what? Toothpick. And he does that in such a way that it's humorous, but yet it brings forth the truth. If you think about it, do we see new things popping into existence? No. But nature, when you watch the Discovery Channel, they talk about nature over billions of years modified the human brains. And then, and all these things that are attributes that God has endowed man with are now attributed to impersonal nature. Wes.
Hold on.
Out of all the sports, like last night in the seventh inning, that serviceman got up and saying, "God bless America." Mm-hmm. Why in no other sports do they not sing anything like
"God Bless America"?
Anything, even the Pledge of Allegiance or anything. Because to me, that's biblical.
Well, every sport has the national anthem. We only sing the first verse. Look up the other verses. on the internet. It's a prayer. It's an observance of what was going on. And then you'll see that he attributes their victory to their faith and their obedience to God. But we don't sing that because we want to get on with the ball game. Okay, but there are times, you know, who was it the other night? The singer that screwed up the national anthem, Jim, he's a folk singer from back in the 70s, James Taylor. And he started out singing America, you know, beautiful, and then he switched, he realized he screwed up. But, you know, some at some sporting events they will throw in, you know, America the Beautiful, back when, what's his name, Ray Charles. I used to love listening to that, you know. All right, so the Bible tells us, this is an assumption, this is what we start with, that God is the personal source of all life on the planet, as well as the planet itself and all things beyond. So what does the Scripture tell us? It tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, He is the source of all things. In Him, all things hold together. He created all things. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were created by Him and for Him. All right? So whatever it is, we look out into the vast universe and we say, wow, there is a God that created this, ordered it. We may not understand why so many galaxies, why so many stars. We don't have that knowledge right now. We do know this is for His glory. He obviously had to have some type of purpose. Each one of us have a purpose. But if the other assumption is true, your life is meaningless, and that is the worldview. Once again, I have an article here on abortion. I don't know if any of you read the blog that I did called The Doctorate in Absurdity, where the state, we looked at it last week, that Governor Jerry Brown signed into law that clinicians or people that work in an abortion clinic now have the right to perform abortions. They have to go through some training, okay? And it was the medical doctors that performed the abortions that were upset with the law. Because they're saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't a minor procedure. This isn't like putting a little ointment on a wart and putting a Band-Aid on it, okay? But when life is impersonal, and what do they believe? You know, that this fetus is going through an evolutionary process. First it was a fish, then it was an amphibian, then it was a reptile, and they believe that. That's what's taught in the history books.
Pastor, yes. In California, of course, to have your dog neutered, you have to go to a doctor, a veterinarian.
Right.
So a dog has to have better resources than a baby.
Also, in my newspaper article was this, that lawsuit, the state bending rules for Planned Parenthood. See, Planned Parenthood gets... They just overlook anything they do. I mean, they were in there, you know, and many of you remember we talked about this, that this young girl whose father is a pastor down in Florida, and he has a radio program called Clash Radio. Anyways, his daughter, when she was 20, dressed up as a hooker and went into some of the Planned Parenthoods and had a hidden camera and was saying, she looked like she was 15 years, I'm 15, my boyfriend got me pregnant. Well, they're supposed to report that immediately to the state because that most law is statutory rape. Not one of them did. And then they told them where they could go, how they could get money. I mean, it was incredible, the cover-up that went into it. It really was. But once again, when, you know, there is no God that you have to answer to, then all things become acceptable. Okay? What caused the Big Bang? Do we have that one? Did you type that in? Yeah. God spoke and it was.
I was watching a show the other day and it was there was some like case where this lady agreed to be a surrogate for this family, and then the woman had had so many miscarriages in her.
That top one had. That was it.
Her baby had was like had a bunch of medical issues before it was born, and it actually was stillborn, and so she ended up getting a surrogate. And the surrogate had to sign this form that said basically if at any point they figure out that there's something wrong with the baby, that this woman would terminate the baby because they couldn't go through what they had already gone through. So at some point they have this testing, and this baby's found to have some, you know, issues.
Some type of issue.
And she's had like two amniocentesis anyway. And so this family said, okay, now we need you to go have an abortion because we can't do this. And this woman said, are you kidding me? Like, this baby's kicking me. You don't feel like this baby's kicking you.
Right.
It kicks me. So the family sued the woman to make her have an abortion. And then, but she won her suit because it was her body and they couldn't make her do it. But then in turns, so then they were suing her for breach of contract because she signed the contract. And it just was like appalling to think, you know, this woman who's trying to bring this woman joy, no matter, it wouldn't matter to me. But my point, so she was like, no, I can't do that. Like I signed that, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And how they can try to force you to do something anyway.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how many women maybe when you were pregnant were told, well, we think there's something wrong with the baby. Okay? My wife and every child we had, that's what she was told. Every, you know, I got four children. And they probably told you, and I can't tell how many women will come in and say, well, Pastor, we need prayer because we were told this and they're recommending that we get an abortion. The child's born, there's not one doggone thing wrong with them. I mean, Taylor Walls, exactly right. So it's incredible what happens. All right, hit that, Ed, and listen to this guy. We're not going to watch the whole 6 minutes. We're going to watch about 3 minutes of it. Once again, listen for the assumptions or what you're being told, how it happened.
For almost 100 years, we have known that the universe is expanding. And we have traced this expansion back in time, through to the very beginning, when the universe occupied an infinitesimal point in space.
Stop. Stop that. Stop it.
This.
Okay. This is great. An infinitesimal point in space. You know how big that is, according to them? See, the whole universe, because it's expanding out, but at one time they believe it was all caved in on itself. Now, how big do you think it would be if everything in the universe caved in on itself? Any idea? I mean, you know, there's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. Then there's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of planets that we just know about now. And all that caved in on itself. How big a mass would you have? Huh? Betty, you think pretty big, right?
Pretty big.
Okay.
Pretty big.
As big as the Earth, as big as the Sun. Do you know how big it is, this infinitesimal point that they believe? 1 trillionth the size of an electron. How big is an electron? Pretty small, isn't it? And this is 1 trillionth. So, you know, this is what they call the Big Bang. This thing, you know, it's not really an explosion like we would think of an explosion, more like a balloon blowing up. But this is the nonsense that they believe. Could you imagine the gravity, the force of gravity in a point that small? Yeah, there's a decimal point. Yes. Yeah, where'd that come from? All right, go ahead. Continue.
It was the state of the universe at time T equals zero, over 13 billion years ago. It is from this starting point that...
Okay. Well, first we're told 13 billion years ago. Was anybody around? Anybody measure it? No. All these dating methods that they come up with, they're all built on assumptions themselves, okay? This is before time even began. This thing existed, T, zero. Time wasn't even created yet. But once this thing, this little dot up here, which is, you know, trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of size, the actual size, that what they call singularity. So within this dot was all matter, all energy, all information. You were in that dot when it all began, billions and billions and billions of years ago. Was that thing alive? No. Was there any life inside that thing? No. That wasn't until later where it exploded and kind of all the chemicals get mixed up, and then here we are. Go ahead.
Everything we are familiar with came into existence. Protons, neutrons, stars, galaxies, even space and time itself are here.
It's all in that dot.
At time T equals zero, this point began an unprecedented inflation. In this instant, time and space were born. And this event has become known as the Big Bang. The Big Bang is our current, most accepted theory for how the universe began.
Stop it.
It was inspired before it becomes dangerous in the future.
Remember I said earlier about an appeal to an authority? Oh, you're going to love this in a minute. What did they say? This is our most current accepted scientific theory. So that right there gives it a cloak of this is the way it should be. What and he mentioned that there was possibly a God there that spoke by the into existence.
What does the word theory mean? Something that is not yet proven?
Yeah.
That's what he calls it, a theory.
Yeah.
It's just what they believe.
Right. And what did we say is that all thinking, all reasoning begins with a statement of faith, an assumption that you can't prove. Now, can we go back and recreate the beginning of the universe in a laboratory? No. Science deals with those things which are repeatable. We can't do that. That's outside the scope of science. It's in the realm of philosophy. Okay? Or, like Bob said, a theory. This is how I think it came about. I have no proof. We can't go back into a science room and duplicate it. Then they look for evidence that maybe would suggest that's the way it happened, but you can't go back, and so therefore it's not really science, more philosophy. Okay, go ahead.
Discovery that the universe is expanding. It was an unusual and highly counterintuitive event. It was not an explosion. It did not occur inside anything. Rather, everything that we are familiar with, left, right, up, down, cause and effect, the stage for all physical laws, was getting larger. We possess a natural curiosity of the world around us. We want to know how and why things are the way they are. This curiosity has served us well because it carries significant survival benefits. If we see an event and ask ourselves why it happened or what caused it, we are more likely to spot a threat before it becomes dangerous in the future.
All right, stop it, Ed. I can't take it no more. Okay? Now, you want to talk about racism? Yeah, because they're trying to tell us that the reason we survived is we have this instinct or this curiosity. That's why we want to know about the universe. So they got some black guy running through a jungle, seeing a lion in that chase. I mean, you want to talk about race, and believe it or not, this type of thinking is the foundation of racism, especially in evolution, because Adolf Hitler used it to, every dictator will use it, that our group is more advanced than someone else. Adolf Hitler said the white Aryan nation, white Aryan, blonde hair, blue eyes, they're the most evolved. Jews were at the bottom of the ladder, blacks were just above them, minority groups were just above them. Okay? And your worth to society was based upon your ethnic grouping. So the Jews could be eliminated because they were bottom feeders. Planned Parenthood, yeah. I mean, all these ideas, don't think that they just pop into existence. They come from different ideas, all right? So we talked about nature a little bit. We said nature is a self-generating force, that little dot. And what did he say? Everything came from the dot. Up, down, left, right. Did our morality come from the dot? Everything. Everything. According to its own closed system of laws and acting independently of any authority outside itself. In other words, nature is all there is and nature formed us the way we are. And I used to show a Three Stooges video called Hoi Polloi, and the Three Stooges are tossing garbage and these two guys are arguing in a bar and there are two professors and the one guy says, man is the result of his environment. And the other guy says, hogwash, I'll bet you $10,000. And he says, well, there are exceptions. And so they decide upon three guys, and they walk outside, and they get hit with some garbage cans. And he goes, here's your subjects, professor. And so it's about them trying to turn the Three Stooges into gentlemen. And, and they're trying to change their environment and trying to teach them the right way. And what happens is they screw the whole thing up, obviously, the Three Stooges. But that's the way the world looks at it, okay? They're never going to acknowledge that we're made in the image of God, that man is in a fallen state, but yet man and women reflect the glory of God. It has intrinsic value just because of the creation of God. There's no value on a fetus in a mother's womb, according to our view today, because if there was, we would protect it. I always love these people that want to get up and protect the rights of the criminals that are going to be executed. You see them outside protest, and you go to the same group and ask them, what about abortion? Well, that's a woman's choice. We will defend, most of the time, the rights of the guilty, and the rights of the innocent are kind of tossed aside. So we get everything backwards.
And even we don't even get that right.
No.
If a man kills a woman and she's pregnant, he can be charged with two murders.
Yeah.
But at the same court will say that that's not a life until it's born.
Right. It's just so, ridiculous, the thinking and how we have to do mental gymnastics to justify different things. Go ahead.
Hold on, Sarge.
Didn't they change it now that if the baby has to draw its first breath, with some kind of abortion, the baby's halfway out, they kill it before it draws its first breath, they still consider that legal? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, you have partial birth abortion, which a lot of people don't even know what it is. Now, infanticide, where the baby is born and they reckon, we didn't realize that there was some type of genetic, malfunction here. Do you want the child? If not, we'll wheel the baby into the back room and we'll take care of it.
My daughter was breached. Now, you said she didn't have no life. She's moving. She's trying. She was trying to get out. She wouldn't have her first breath yet.
Yeah.
She's trying to survive. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you see, once again, the ridiculous extremes that we go to. Creation, biblical, is generated by Creator God, who made it for His purposes. Everything. We may still not understand, but yet He's given us that curiosity to discover. Operating according to laws designed and sustained by Him and subject to His authority. That's why it says in Colossians that He holds all things together. In other words, by the power of His Word, He sustains every atom from splitting apart. Okay? All right, one more and then we'll close it up for the day. Metaphysics. You know what metaphysics is? Metaphysics deals with what is real. What is reality? Well, according to the world's assumption, there's nothing beyond this world. Okay? You're born, you live, you die, you return back to the earth. There's no afterlife. There's no God you're going to have to answer to. It's all an illusion. God is just a man-made concept. We've all heard that. If you any college classes, Nietzsche and a lot of these other philosophers. But this is the predominant view today. This is the view in our schools. Nature is God and God is nature. The dot. All that is natural. And the supernatural simply does not exist. You remember going back to that dot, I don't care how small it was one of these little dots here on the thing. That dot had to exist in some type of space, didn't it? So everything outside of that, if everything natural, time, space, everything was contained within that dot, what was outside that dot?
What was keeping the dot together? Why wasn't it moving?
Yeah.
There was no gravity?
Yeah. It was all created there. But outside that little dot, I don't care how small it was there, it had to be in space. And outside of that space is a supernatural, according to their own theory. Because everything natural was in that dot. Everything outside of that dot had to be what? Supra-natural. Okay, so this, you see how even their own ideas sound ridiculous when you begin to look at them. The biblical sum, creation is God's handiwork. God is not to be confused with what He has made, for He existed prior to and is distinct from that which is created. And we all know pagan cultures, they would worship the stars and the moon or some other idol. And the Apostle Paul, when he came out, he says, I am going to declare to you who the unknown God is. He does not live in temples. He does not need anything from man because He gives men everything and the universe itself, he says, cannot contain Him. There's a whole different view of reality. And the Greeks at that time, the philosophers, they were like, and they start talking about the resurrection of the dead. We'll finish here. Nature is unlimited yet impersonal. In other words, nature, you can't go out and have a conversation, but nature created all of us. And we can go and have, fellowship with each other. And the biblical sense, the God of the Bible is unlimited, yet what? Personal. How do we know that? Well, according to the Scripture, what? He made everything for what? Us. For human beings. To enjoy everything. And that's why it says, give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, in all things. Because he has provided for us somehow, some way. This earth and the resources, the universe, I mean, you look out and it's just amazing what God has created. But this earth itself, as far as we know, and scientists know, this is the only place that there's even life. I was watching Discovery Channel the other night, and they're talking about all these Earth-like planets they discovered. And I'm laughing. I go, you got to be kidding me. And they say, well, this one is the same distance from the sun, and they start talking about it, and it's like hell on Earth. You know, it reaches 4,000 degrees Celsius and blah, 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 and it's like molten lava, you know, and you just sit there and go, that's Earth?
Actually, I don't believe they've actually seen one. It's a mathematical theory because of the orbitation around the sun. There's abnormality. So they're even guessing at that on theories they've made up.
Yeah.
But now it's fact.
It always amazes me that they can look even, you know, 5 light years down the road, you know, back and somehow pick up a planet that would just be, but that's exactly right. The gravitational force and, you know, the things that they see. And every planet, and this is the funny thing, they're talking to the physicists, and the planet says, or the physicist says, you know, we thought we knew about space. And then he looks and he goes, but boy, were we wrong.
They can tell you the temperature on a planet they can't even see, but they can't tell me if it's going to rain tomorrow. Nah, thank you.
That's it. That's it. And so we're going to get back to some of these assumptions, but once again, I want you to bring in another article next week. Elma, you and Beth are excused. Everybody else got to bring one in. I don't care what it's from. Just, I mean, all you got to do is go in the newspaper, boom, boom. You'll find every article. All you got to do is just rip out an article. You can rip out a cartoon and bring it in, and we'll give us a particular view of life, okay? Any questions before we close in prayer? Are you guys beginning to see, though, how in everything that you've got to be very, very diligent as Christians and what you're being told? And it's got to line up with God's Word or principles in God's Word. Yep. All right? Okay. Bob, would you close us in prayer?
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for all insight and all wisdom we have comes from you, Father God. Mm-hmm. That, Lord, we have your word as a reference point that will never change, Father God. That we have you, something solid to stand on and to look at everything else with and through, Father. Lord, I pray that as we go this morning to worship you, Father God, that you just pour your spirit out, Father God.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that we come expecting mighty things because we serve a mighty God, Father. I pray that nobody leave without getting a step closer to you this morning. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.